And welcome to Behind the Screams. As always, my name is Ian, and in today's show, we are once again joined by the fabulous Ashleena. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Hi, thank you so much for having me again. I'm excited. I'm excited to be back, and I appreciate you allowing me to come back.
Absolutely.
Happy Monday. That's all I can really say.
Yes. I feel like The Mondays weren't a happy thing before COVID, and yeah. I feel like they're just even worse now. But no, I had so much fun when you were on the show the last time. Obviously, last time you were on the show, we discussed the Belgian horror comedy Yummy, which was, you know, something really a little bit different. And so, like, I was super excited to do that. In today's show, this is episode number 76, we're discussing the 2018 movie Mandy, and I have some thoughts about this movie, so we're going to hopefully have a pretty good discussion.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, last time when you were on the show as well, obviously, you told our listeners, you know, the sorts of things you do, your Twitch streams, so, you know, your other creative, businesses, but it's not really businesses, but the words escape me, you know, it's Monday. But do you just want to maybe spend a couple of minutes just sort of reminding everyone, you know, obviously, like you say, you're a Twitch streamer, you have like an Etsy store as well. And to be honest with you, like from following you on social medias, you're probably one of the busiest people that we know of. So do you just remind everyone of some of the things that you do?
Yeah, of course. My name is Ashleena. That is two A's at the end. I'm a variety streamer on Twitch. I do a lot of things on Twitch, like especially play video games. But like for October, for example, I did a bunch of SFX makeup work and makeup in general. Played lots of horror games and stuff like that. Watched some horror movies with the community. But I mean, besides all that, I own an Etsy shop. Where I sell spooky goodies. So if you're ever interested in that, it's /Leena with one A at the end, like a slasher movie, you know, my favorite genre of horror. And then I am a model as well. But that's kind of like I'm exiting out of that part of my life. But I do it all, I guess. Yeah, I am pretty busy now that I'm thinking about it.
That's the thing. Like, even just like, obviously, you do all these different things, which is so amazing. And, you know, that's so fantastic. And I'm so happy for you that you found so success in all the various aspects of your life as well. You know, and I sit here and I think I'm not that busy. You know, I just run a podcast and everything else. And I sometimes sit there and think, you know what? I'm so fucking busy. Like, it's just it's just insane. You know, I mean all our listeners know, we've started our first ever horror awards this year,
on Twitter.
Been pushing for the last month on Twitter. I think people are maybe getting a little sick of it now. So,
no, I love it.
You know, me and the other hosts, we're currently running through all of various people's opinions. You know, we got hundreds and hundreds of responses to the things we were putting out, which was fantastic. So like I'm having to work on that, and then obviously I'm still trying to do like the main show as is, and we're working on our Patreon and some extra shows and things like that.
So busy.
We're super busy, you know. We've still got the YouTube to run.
Making
changes to the show as well. New changes are coming in the new year, so I've been trying to work through that. So the long and the short of it is we're busy people.
Seriously. And like, I mean, honestly, the message behind that is like, give yourself more credit, everyone out there, you know, like give yourself a break, especially for like 2020. Like, that's a lot kind of going on, you know what I mean? So
It's so important to, you know, even sometimes just take those few days, a week, whatever it is, however long it takes for you, just to take that time, you know, just to recharge your batteries and just give yourself a bit of a rest. That's so important as well. But before we move on, you were mentioning there that you were watching some spooky movies with your Twitch community for Halloween. Would you want to just share a couple of those movies? What did you watch?
So we ended up watching Summer in 84, which loved. I would love to cover that on an episode. So we did Summer in 84. Of course, we watched Halloween on the 42nd anniversary. And then, oh gosh, I can't remember the other one that we watched. Wow, my mind is
Well, I mean, you can
slipping
stop
away
at
from me.
Halloween, and that's perfectly
Yeah,
fine by me. Like,
seriously,
that'll do.
seriously.
I haven't seen Summer of 84 yet. It is on my Shudder wish list to watch. So, I guess we've just let the cat out of the bag what you're going to be coming to back on the show
Yeah.
to do for in the
Yes. Oh my
future.
gosh, no. Seriously, it's so good. I think you're gonna enjoy it. It's one of those, I think what I'm starting to discover is I love those intro to horror movies where you could watch a movie and get like an introduction into horror. And so more people want to become a part of the horror community. Summer in 84 is one of those movies. And yes, it's really good. And we watched Host too, by the way, which I know you've covered on the show before.
Oh, that's
It's one of your
actually, that's
favorites.
so
So,
interesting that you mentioned
yeah.
that, because I literally watched it about three again, because I need to rewatch everything that's been nominated for some awards.
Yeah.
I literally watched
Yeah.
that movie about 3 hours ago, so
Oh my, well, yeah, I
I
liked
mean,
it. It was good.
we only have done like a really short mini review of it on our Patreon. We haven't actually done a full episode on it yet, which is
Oh,
something that
okay.
I'm really, so maybe we could, maybe it might not be Summer 84 that you come back on for. It might be
Yeah.
Host.
Yeah.
But I personally, I love that movie.
Yeah.
The cast and the crew are so amazing
It
as
was
well. They're
great.
so interactive on social
Yeah.
media. You know, we've had multiple interactions with some of the cast and the
I
crew. They're
love that.
so awesome. And who knows, they might end up winning a couple of awards for us as
Hell
well. So
yeah. I know. I see it nominated for a lot of things on the Twitter, so I'm
yeah,
excited.
I think it's nominated for like three awards, and then
Hell
some of the
yeah.
cast are nominated for some things as well. So
Frick yeah.
it's gonna be
Love
super
it.
cool. But I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, are you ready then to talk
Yeah.
about today's movie?
Yeah.
Awesome. So we are talking about Mandy.
This is your spoiler alert. Special one, Mandy. I too am a special one. Let us be so very special together.
So what you gonna do with that man?
I'm going hunting.
So what you hunting?
Crazy evil.
You think you're so in love? I'll show you love.
Oh man, they wronged you. You exude the cosmic darkness.
Glowed from within, strange and eternal.
This movie was released in 2018, written and directed by Panos Cosmatos. and stars Nicolas Cage, Andrea Riseborough, and Linus Roach. I have to say, these are significantly easier names to pronounce than when we did Yummy. I didn't have to practice these ones anywhere near as much, but the IMDb plot is as follows. Taking place in 1983, Red is a lumberjack who lives in a secluded cabin in the woods. His artist girlfriend Mandy spends her days reading fantasy paperbacks. Then one day she catches the eye of a crazed cult leader who conjures a group of motorcycle-riding demons to kidnap her. Red, armed with a crossbow and a custom axe, stops at nothing to get her back, leaving a bloody, brutal pile of bodies in his wake. Now,
I just got the chills.
This movie is fucking insane.
This movie, yeah, like, literally fucking insane is totally 100% proper description for this movie. Oh my god.
Normally, when I'm watching a movie, I'll watch it once, I'll take all my notes, and then I'll, you know, I'll go and do my research and think, I had to watch this more than once, because the first time I watched it, I was just sitting there and I was like, I don't even fucking know what I've just watched. Like, there is a moment in there where you're like, what the hell am I actually watching? Yes. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I'm not saying that to detract from this movie, but it's crazy. Of course, you know, we've got Nicolas Cage as our our leading man. Now, overall, as an actor, Nicolas Cage, I feel, is quite a polarizing actor. You know, there's people out there who absolutely love some of his stuff. You know, he's got some really iconic roles. He does, you know, one of my favorite action movies is Con Air. But are you, in general, a fan of Nicolas Cage? Because, like I say, I know he can be quite polarizing.
Yeah, so one of my favorite movies that he's ever done is We're Going to Steal the Declaration of Independence. What is that movie called?
A National Treasure.
Yes. Okay.
I'm so upset that I knew that so quickly.
No, I like that movie. But I mean, on, you know, a serious note, he can be pretty corny for me. He's one of those actors that have those stupid one-liners like in every movie, and I just like slap my forehead. But with this movie, I gave it a chance because obviously what the hell is he doing in a horror movie, first of all? Second of all, it said like psychedelic horror. I've never seen a psychedelic horror movie. This is my first experience with one. So I was like, I'm giving it a chance. Like, totally, if he's in a horror movie, he's obviously doing something right. And I was impressed. I will say I was impressed.
Well, see, that's the thing. He has actually sort of been venturing more into the sort of horror movies. Because he was in this. He's obviously in Colour Out of Space, which is in 2019. You did Mum and Dad as well.
Yes.
And I think he's possibly done a couple of other slightly lesser known things as well. So this is definitely something. He's obviously reached that stage in the career, his career as well, where he's gone, you know what, I'm just going to do what the fuck I want. I think that's really telling, because there was a big period there, I think, in the sort of early 2010s, maybe the late noughties, where, you know, it did seem that he didn't seem to be doing as well, you know. People were, he was being that really corny person that you were talking about, and some of his performances were really Nicolas Cage, and I'm going to ask you a question in a moment about that, but lately it does very much seem that, you know, he's enjoying himself again.
That's why I'm so glad I gave this movie a chance, because he felt different. He felt different in the movie. I don't know how to explain it, and I don't know if, like, the gore aspect and, like, kind of this story brought it out of him, but he just felt different, and, yeah, he didn't feel corny to me. Okay, there is one part that was kind of corny, and I was like, okay, there it is. But for the most part, I was, like, impressed. I mean, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, Ian, but, like, I would almost consider this, like, not a silent movie, but there were not a lot words.
Yeah, especially when it came to Nicolas Cage as well. Nicolas Cage actually has very, very little dialogue.
Maybe why I liked it.
I mean, that's a big thing. Like, for a lot of people, you know, it's when he has, you know, big monologues and things. And really, in this movie, aside from Jeremiah, who's obviously the cult leader, and a couple of the other peoples in the cult, you know, he doesn't really say a lot apart from when he's having those sort of intimate conversations with Mandy at the beginning. And then once, you know, once the shit hits the fan, apart from, you know, his Nicolas Cage screaming, you know, he only really says a few things. So I think you're absolutely right to bring that up. I think that could be a key aspect for a lot of people as well when they're sort of analyzing that performance.
Yeah.
Right. One of the questions I wanted to ask you. So on a scale of one to batshit crazy, what level of Nicolas Cage did we get in this movie?
Oh, my God. Okay, so first of all, let me just say, obviously, spoiler alert. But, like, if you're listening to this podcast, like, you know that already. But the chainsaw duel, that was fucking awesome. Okay? Like, literally, I rewinded that part, like, or rewound, sorry, that part, like, 10 times because I loved it so much. But I've never seen him like this before. I would say he was pretty batshit crazy, but thinking about it, watching your wife burn alive in front of you with these cult leaders, you know, and like all this, I would fucking go crazy too. You know, like he had, it was like he broke that barrier between like, hey, like, I don't like this, and hey, I'm gonna fucking kill you. He like reached that point, you know, watching his wife basically, you know, suffer to death and like being tied up to a tree, you know, like, oh my God, like insane.
Yeah. Insane. And I think for me as well, like sometimes the issues I have with Nicolas Cage movies is that the reactions that he gives isn't necessarily believable for the situation that he's in.
Yeah.
And yes, you know, he goes fucking nuts in this movie, but it's justified.
I'm honestly, my heart is just breaking because like that part really got to me because I was like, you could just see it in his eyes. Like, I don't know, like, his whole world was falling apart. And then the bathroom scene where he's just screaming.
Yes.
Like, I felt like that was, like, such an iconic, performance, in my opinion. The screaming in the bathroom.
I think that is my favorite scene in the movie.
I think it is, too.
You know, it's not, like, an overly gory scene. It's not a horrific scene in terms of...
It's emotional.
It's just pure emotion. He's letting out his screams. And... You know, obviously it's Nicolas Cage, so when you say, oh, Nicolas Cage is screaming, you're, you know, you in your mind you're picturing, you know, the bees from Wicker Man or, you know, something crazy like that. But this one, it's so passionate and so emotional. He does a really fantastic job in specifically in that scene as well that I think it is possibly my favorite scene of the movie.
Too.
Now, of course...
Like, just thinking about it makes my stomach hurt. And that's how you know, like, that it got to me. And I think that's why I love this movie so much was because... of the fact that he was able to portray emotion in a way that was revenge and love, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was just so good.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
The fact, like you said earlier as well, he manages to do it without saying
an
awful lot is really a testament to the actual performance. Because, you know, we've covered a couple of movies in the past where, you know, a character doesn't really have a lot of dialogue or things like that. Or, you know, we've talked, I mean, I think specifically back to when we covered A Quiet Place, you know, there's virtually no dialogue in that entire movie. And it's all about portraying these emotions through your actions. Now, obviously, he does get to say certain things. He does get to make noise and scream and things like that. But to portray that emotion and the passion and the general despair of his character without saying an awful lot, I think, is a real testament to Nicolas Cage. So I actually take my hat off to him for this movie as well. Now, I want to briefly talk about some of the other cast members that we've got, or some of the other characters more specifically, because we do have a few people in here. First of all, I want to talk about Jeremiah, right? This guy, doesn't he just have one of those faces that you want to fucking punch?
Yeah, like, I mean, disgusting. Like, I mean, ew. Like, the moment you see him, you just know what he's about kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, 100%.
I just think for this, throughout this movie, he's so pathetic. Almost.
Yes.
And
especially at the end.
And you know, in that opening, you know, when we obviously, you know, the first time we see him, it's when they're all in the van and they drive past Mandy, and then you get that scene where he's like really upset. He's almost throwing a tantrum about like wanting to have Mandy. And all through the film, I just think you're such a pathetic little shit. Like, fuck this guy. Honestly, this guy so fucking much.
Yeah, and like how they all just like completely just do every, which I mean, that's a cult leader for you, obviously, you know, but like how they just fall into line for, oh, it made me so mad. Yeah, you're like, yeah, he invoked anger in me, which is great. That's exactly why I feel like I connected with Nicolas Cage, you know, was because this guy pissed me off too, you know?
Because not only, you know, not obviously they committed this heinous act of burning Mandy alive.
Oh my God, I know.
And we'll touch on that scene a little bit more as well as we go through. But this guy literally just sort of was in Nicolas Cage's face the entire time, boasting about it and taunting him. And, you know, it was just horrendous. In fact, we can talk about that scene now if you like.
Because it's
obviously the big turning point of the movie, and it comes almost directly at the halfway point of the movie. So you literally have the first hour is the background of this relationship,
their love, and
how they are. Because, you know, as we said in the sort of description, you know, Mandy's this really sort of spiritual character. Yeah. She's an artist. We find out that she works at the gas station for the convenience store. I can't remember which one it is, but that's how she makes money. We obviously know that Red is a lumberjack, and they just have this really beautiful relationship where they come together in the evening and they just talk. Like, obviously they have it's set in the 80s, but they obviously have this small talent, but they just seem to have this real connection.
Yeah, like soulful connection. Like they literally just lay in bed and just like look at the stars. Like, I mean, it was really sweet the way that they portrayed their relationship, which I think is another huge element of this movie as far as it also invoking anger in you as the viewer to get on, you know, Red, aka Nicolas Cage's level, you know, like. It's almost like you go on the adventure or you get pissed with him, you know?
Yeah.
And you like, you think all of these things and he like acts it out for you, you know? Like, it's crazy how this movie like made me feel. Like, yeah, the emotions in it was great. And that's why I love horror too, is just like the emotions that it can make you feel. Go ahead. I keep interrupting you. Sorry.
No. I'm delighted that you keep interrupting me. I fucking love it. It's less work for me to do. You're absolutely right though. The absolute key, especially in a movie like this, in a revenge movie, is to set up that emotional reaction. Yes. You know, they have to be successful in that opening hour of portraying, you know, this really sweet relationship. They have to be successful in making you, the viewer, want to really like and root for both Mandy and Red. Because if they fail to do that, then you're not going to be interested in what comes afterwards. So it's absolutely essential that they do that. And I actually think it's one of the things they're most successful in this movie is evoking that reaction. And then when the scene comes where, you know, she gets burned alive, it's so emotionally damaging for the characters. Yeah. And because we're so invested in them, you know, it hurts the viewer too.
Yeah, 100%. And what's crazy about this scene as well, since we're going to go ahead and talk about it, is in Friday the 13th, Jason essentially does the same thing to a girl, burns her alive, you know, in a sleeping bag. And that part is like probably one of my favorite Jason kills, honestly. And then in this, it happens and you're just like literally about to break down.
Yeah.
You just cannot even believe this is happening. It's just crazy how you have the same exact scene, two different movies, and they evoke different things. And again, that is why I love horror. But yeah, that scene, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but there wasn't really a lot of music, right? It was mainly just silence.
There was, I feel like there was a lot of sound. And there was some sort of, but exactly. In terms of, you know, songs and actual, you know, background music, if you're looking at it that sense, no, there's probably not a lot, but there is a lot, I think, of orchestral sort of sounds and synthesizer sounds as the movie goes on.
Like bangs on the drum and like
snares. Yeah, yeah, things like that. But in terms of actual songs, no, I think you're right. One thing just to bring it up there, it's really funny that you bring up, you know, Friday the 13th and Jason, because at one point Mandy does say that they live on Crystal Lake.
Which
I thought, I was like, oh, is that, you know, a little nod? And then obviously we get the sleeping bag burning alive, and I was like, that has to be, you know, a nod to Friday the 13th, because how could you live on Crystal Lake and then burn someone alive in a sleeping bag and that not be? So I was super happy about it. about that. I love references to my favorite movies.
Yes.
And then speaking of references to your favorite movies, And this is jumping ahead a little bit to the chainsaw scene, which we'll discuss, like I say, a little bit more when we get to it. But this film is gory as all hell. Like, if you are squeamish, do not watch this film. You know what it actually reminded me of, with the chainsaws as well? Evil Dead from 2013.
Yes!
Know, because, you know, that scene as well in Evil Dead where Maya, the lead character, is, like, confronting the abomination and it's just raining blood. Everything is red and, you know, she's got the chainsaw. And
her face is just,
Yeah, I thought that that chainsaw scene in here and with the so much blood, that really did remind me of that as well.
I love that.
Okay, is there any other cast members? Like, obviously we've sort of touched on Mandy. Is there anything else about Mandy that you really want to sort of bring up? We've spoken about how, you know, she's clearly this sort of spiritual soul. She's a very, you know, she's so beautiful and things like that. But obviously once the halfway point, she exits the movie, really.
You know, she was very delicate, and I was so proud of her because, you know, when they drugged her initially with, what was that bit her? I can't even remember.
Oh, it was like this big...
Like a bug or something.
Yeah, it was a big... I don't even know. It was fucking huge. I know that. We don't get bugs that big here in Scotland, because if we did, I wouldn't fucking live here.
I would move. I bet you it was like some Australian bug. Anyway, that's like a joke because like Australia has like spiders as big as kangaroos.
We have listeners in Australia. I've interacted with Australian people, but I ain't going there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
like, your bugs are just way too fucking big for me.
Yeah, no. I really admired her when they drugged her, and they like he was trying to sand the Linus. He was trying to, you know, get information out of her and just like being such a fucking dick. And she stood her ground, like even like drugged up.
Yeah.
And was like laughing at his dick, right?
Oh yeah. That scene, honestly, when he just opened up his robe, I was just like, oh, okay. Yeah. There we are.
Yeah.
And you know, he's playing her his music as well. And you know, you know what? And again, I'm gonna take this back to another movie. I got very Silence of the Lambs vibes from this.
Oh,
you know, that scene with Buffalo Bill when he tucks himself and he dances to the music.
My gosh,
I did kind of get those vibes as well. I'm just relating this movie now to everything.
Wow, no, I've ever seen. I'm glad you caught those things because I was honestly in shock a lot. So, you know, I love that even though she was so delicate, like she really like took a stand for like women. Like,
yeah, because as well,
able to just, like, fight.
Yeah. And, because as well, you've got these other two women who are part of the cult they're the complete opposite, you know.
God.
we've been portraying Mandy up until now as this really sort of sensitive soul, you know, this really spiritual soul, and then when you know the chips are down and the shit hits the fan, she's strong, you know. She's sitting there, she's laughing in his face, laughing maniacally in his face, even though it's probably going to mean her death. And you know, you've got these other two women, especially the older woman. I don't think we actually ever get told what her character name is, but we've got even the older one who you're maybe sort of thinking is outwardly portraying being a slightly stronger character, but actually very, very weak.
100%, especially how she like folds in and like does whatever he tells her to do. I hated that so much. You know, and so for Mandy to just laugh in his face, I was like, fuck yes. You know.
Yeah, and it went on. Like, it wasn't just a, like, oh, ha, ha, ha. It fucking, it hit hard.
She rubbed it in. She rubbed that shit in, and I loved it. Like, keep laughing. You know, like, I know that my death is, you know, probably gonna happen regardless, but I'm gonna make you miserable, and I'm gonna make you feel like shit.
Yeah.
You know, before it happens.
She's not gonna give him any satisfaction out of her death.
Yeah, and
you know,
I
she's not going to let him take that away from her. She's going to, obviously she doesn't want to die or anything like that, but she is going to do it going down swinging emotionally.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I think that's such an important thing. And again, that just feeds into how, you know, Red is so vicious when it comes to his revenge, because he'll know how strong a person Mandy is through their relationship. You know, and he obviously that'll feed into his desire to get such revenge for her.
yeah
The only other character, because we've sort of touched, well, there's a group of characters, but I want to sort of talk about them with some of their scenes, because they confuse me a little bit. The only other sort of one of the cult here, we've got Brother Swan. I fucking hated this guy almost as much as I hated Jeremiah.
Yeah.
This guy is just, you know, he's your typical sort of cult follower.
Freaking scummy, disgusting.
Just horrendous dude, you know.
Yeah.
I've not got much to say about him. I just sort of want to bring him up and be like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, fuck them all. but yeah, no, typical, you know, cult-like behavior from these characters, you know. And it's just, you just look at it and you're just like, oh my God, I cannot believe these people, like, successfully, like, are doing this right now and have taken this woman and... You know, it's just scummy. I felt very dirty, you know, watching their scenes. You know, I felt very violated.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually a really good description of how these scenes would make you feel, because you know, these, no interaction with any of these people is a pleasant one, and everything is, you know, so heavily related back to religion, and you know, so much people as well. For them, religion is a really pure thing, and you know, whilst I'm not in the slightest bit religious, I personally don't believe, I'm an atheist. But I understand that, you know, certain people take their faith very seriously, and whilst, you know, again, I have my thoughts about religion, which I won't get into here, but you know, for them to take something which for a lot of people is a source of strength and a source of you know, almost purifying their soul and keep what they sort of define themselves as being good people, and just flipping it on its head so much is quite perverse.
And using it to, you know, me being spiritual, me, you know, that pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because you are using something that people look to for strength and for guidance and, you know, and just using it in this way that is very violating. And they did such a good job of making you just like feel what you needed to feel. 100%.
Yeah.
Like, you needed to feel anger towards these characters because Nicolas Cage is about to fuck them up and you are going to love watching them die because of this, you know?
Yeah.
So, but they did a great job with that.
The cult are not the only group of people that Nicolas Cage fucks up. And if you think, if you haven't seen this movie yet and you think what we've been talking about so far is fucking insane, the biker demons.
Yeah.
This is like, on my first viewing, this was the point where I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I literally, it was almost like in Yummy where they had that little creature. It was almost like they didn't need them.
Yeah, like,
but it added a little bit of spice, I guess, some pepper. You know, I was like, okay, I mean, whatever.
Yeah,
but
like, it was just like, obviously, so for, again, the cult sort of calls upon this group of biker demons to kidnap Mandy. I don't understand. Yeah. Number one, like, this is some of the issues, this is where I start to have a couple of issues. I don't understand why they needed to do that. They could have just kidnapped Mandy themselves.
Well, maybe this was like a way of showing like his weakness, that he actually can't, that he's not actually as strong as he thinks he is or portrays himself to be, that he does need that assistance, again, using religion. And first of all, you're going to fucking summon demons. Okay, whatever.
Well, actually,
but you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's actually, when you put it like that, it's actually quite interesting, because as he goes on to kill the various members of the cult, barring the chainsaw fight, none of them actually really put up a fight.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's actually a really good point that you raise.
Yeah.
Then could easily be the reason. But again, I don't, They could have just, you know, found some fucking local hitman or some
seriously.
Tough guys or something. I don't understand
maybe,
these fucking demons, honestly. Yeah.
Maybe it was just to show, like, how deep the cult had gotten, you know, kind of thing. Like, maybe it was just to show, like, the viewer, like, this isn't just your average, I mean, what the fuck is an average cult anyways? But, you know, like, this isn't just your average cult. This is, like, a disgusting, using religion to like basically say that what they're doing is okay. Yeah. Oh, not only that, they're summoning fucking biker demons to do their dirty work. You know, like, maybe it was just to show, like, the depth of this cult, you know, maybe. But yeah, no, I mean, like, it is kind of confusing. Like, I don't think they needed it, but I can see maybe why, you know, showing weakness within the cult, maybe.
Yeah, I get that. Moving on a little bit with the demons.
Yeah.
The big scene was like the big what the fuck moment. And I think you know what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
So one of them, you know, just loves spending his spare time snorting cocaine and watching pornography. And
typical demon, I guess.
Typical demon, and has this giant sort of knife penis thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it other than that. What did you think of this scene? Because this is like the big what the fuck moment for me.
Okay, so yeah, literally. Okay, first of all, I watched it the first time and I was like, okay, wait, is that his dick? I was like, oh, okay, hold on. And I had to rewind it like twice. And like, I know that sounds bad, but I was like, what is this thing? What is it? And then I realized, yeah, it's his freaking dick. Demon dick. I don't know. Whatever. You know, and I mean, I was very thoroughly confused, which is why I had to rewind it a couple of times. Cause like, what the fuck is that? But yeah, I was definitely like, excuse me, what the fuck is this? But I do love the part, you know, and I kind of wanted to touch on this with you as far as like, you know, when he kills this demon in particular and just the blood spills all over his face.
Yeah.
In my mind, I was like, I wonder how many times they had to do this take because that was so much blood. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how is he breathing and blinking and smiling through that kill? You know, it was, I loved that part, but I hated like everything before it.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
Yeah. I think ultimately for me, when it comes to this movie as a whole, not just this scene specifically, you know, some of the things might be confusing. Some of the things you might think, is that really necessary? But I think the payoff is always worth it.
Absolutely. And I was going to say that kill, his kill of the dick demon was great. I'm going to call it a dick demon because I don't know what the fuck it is.
That's what, in my notes, if I can just find it in my notes, I've got, for that scene, I've just got demon dick coke porn.
So. Literally.
But you're absolutely right. You know, you've got that scene where he's, you know, slits his throat. He slits its throat and then just all this blood pours out in his face. And like you say, he's blinking, he's smiling. And I must say, Nicolas Cage in this movie has the best manic fucking smile. Yes. It's insane.
Scary.
Just before we move on from this scene, you know, you were saying there about how you had to rewind it a couple of times. As soon as it came up and you just got this sort of like billowing clouds of cocaine and the pornography on the TV, I was already like, what the fuck is going on here? So when the dick part actually happened, I was like, what the actual fuck is going on here? Like, it's bizarre.
I'm wondering if that was like a call out to like, you know, the seven deadly sins or something. I don't know. I'm gonna see if I can find some more information on what they mean for this movie. But yeah, at first glance, first watch.
Yeah.
What you I will are say is, literally confused
about this movie, because this is a serious movie. There's actually some decent bits of humor in floating in as well. You know, you think back earlier when one of the cult members was playing with the window in the van, you know, whilst they're waiting for these demons to arrive. And then once you know, the Nicolas Cage Red has finished his fights with the demons, he just takes a big pile of coke and fucking snorts the shit out of it, which I thought was fucking hilarious. So yeah, like, there are some good bits of humor mixed in there as well. They're few and far between. Like, this is, you're not going to be laughing, you're not going to have your sides splitting from laughter with this movie, but I think it's kind of nice to have that in there as well. Okay, so anything else you want to talk about in terms of plot wise we've sort of kind of already gone through the majority of the plot. It's a very basic plot, really.
Yeah,
if you break it down, you know, They kidnap his girlfriend, they kill her, and he gets revenge. You know, that's basically it. Is there anything else about sort of plot that you want to mention?
No, that's it. We covered it all, essentially.
Okay.
We sprinkled in the spice of the plot, but essentially that's it.
Okay, so let's talk about some of these kills that we get. We've kind of already touched on, you know, obviously the demon dick kill. Was any of the other sort of demon kills? Because I christened him Nailhead because he was like Pinhead, but they're just thicker pins. So he's Nailhead. He kills him just by running him over. And then you obviously have his car spinning out of control and a couple of fights with some of the other demons. How did you feel about the sort of other kills there?
So I thought it was great, obviously. And I've been reading a little bit. Elijah Wood was involved with this, which is very interesting because obviously he was in Lord of the Rings, huge Frodo, you know, whatever. They almost reminded me of orcs a little bit. The demons, now that I'm thinking about it. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you.
Okay.
These kills didn't mean as much to me as the cold kills. I hardly remember them because it was kind of like that, okay, that's great. Like, he killed the demons. Cool. Whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to watch these cult people die for what they did to Mandy.
Yeah, because,
you know,
really, the demons don't really mean anything to us as a viewer. You know, they're the people who kidnapped her. But ultimately, it's the cult that we're wanting. They're the ones who really have sort of started this whole thing in motion. So the demons really don't really mean a lot. And that's maybe where I go back to, you know, the whole, did we really need them to be demons sort of thing? It seems like a plot point that was kind of just thrown in, to me anyway, kind of just thrown in there. I get that they maybe are going for some larger symbolic reference or symbolic stature for these things. For me, it didn't really pull that off particularly well, and it's probably the biggest aspect of the movie where I go, actually, you know, that didn't really work for me. So let's move on to some of these other kills. Let's finally move on to the cult kills then, because these are probably the ones that we really want to talk about. Let's talk about the big one then. Let's talk about Jeremiah. And I go back to what I was saying earlier. He's so pathetic. Obviously this is, I mean, the kill itself is I don't know, actually. You know what? I can't decide if I like this kill or not. I don't know. He obviously crushes his head with his bare hands. And, you know, obviously, you know, visually with his eyes popping out of his skull and things like that, it's very visually striking.
Yeah.
I don't know if it satisfied me.
Yeah. I think as a viewer getting to Jeremiah, you're like, oh, yeah. Let's fucking go. This, here he is, you know. I was happy. I think having those other kills that were so dramatic and so insane, it felt like okay for me. Like, I wish that more would have happened to the guy. Like, torture him or something. Oh god, that sounds horrible coming from me, but you know, like, do more things, I guess. But I think because of the other kills having as much, I'm gonna keep using the word spice, as they did, I was like, okay, you know, like, I mean, but think about this too. God, this is gonna sound so morbid, but I mean, this is what horror does, though.
It's a horror podcast.
he is killing this man with his bare hands.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah, it's very visceral.
Yes, and he didn't need a weapon. He didn't, I mean, you know, he brought one, but, you know, he didn't need it. That he killed this guy with his bare hands. And, I mean, there's got to be some power and some type of...
And, you know, when you say that as well, it's not even just, you know, killing someone with your bare hands. You know, you think, oh, you must have strangled him or something. No, he crushed his fucking skull.
So
I definitely get that perspective. I must admit, as childish of me as it is, I did laugh quite hard when he was offering him blowjobs and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that
that's right.
Adds
that's
to
right. You better freaking get down on your knees and beg for your life. What you did to my wife and my life, like, I will never, ever see her again. Yeah. And you tortured her and, you know, kind of flaunted that in front of me. you're dying. Yeah, like, absolutely. Beg for your life. That's great. It adds something to this kill for me, you know?
That, I guess that definitely adds a level of gratification from the kill.
Absolutely. Which is probably why they made his kill... Oh, God, I don't want to say that it's a simple kill, because it's not a simple kill at all.
Yeah, I definitely get what you're saying there. Yeah, yeah. I definitely get that. Because for the rest of the cult, obviously the old woman, she gets decapitated off camera, so we don't really get to see that. Although there's this really uncomfortable scene before that where she's telling him how good a lover she is. That's super fucking creepy. Yeah. Richard Brake, who's the chemist in this film, obviously we know Richard Brake from things like Three from Hell and 31. I can't actually, but does he get killed? Like, I can't actually remember that.
Oh my, he backs him up to the tree.
Oh, yes, you're
stabs
right.
Stabs him through the mouth?
Yeah.
The eye? No,
that's Brother Swan.
Oh.
That's Brother Swan. A couple of the cult members do sort of melt together. You don't know who they are, like, you don't know their names or anything like that.
Okay, who did he get in the chainsaw fight with then?
I think, wasn't that the guy who was playing with the car window I mentioned earlier?
Oh, the kid? Kind of like, yeah.
I think that was him.
Well, shit, I can't remember then.
So I can't actually remember if Richard Brake, because I don't remember seeing Richard Brake in the build-up to this point as well.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, like,
I can't place my finger on it. You're right. Scene, I can't think either.
Yeah, that whole scene did sort of confuse me a little bit. And then there's a tiger and there's just all sorts of crazy shit going on. Basically, Richard Brake is Joe Exotic.
And he's just the Tiger King.
But yeah, so that sort of confused me a little. I did like Brother Swan's comeuppance, because his whole thing was he was almost like the mouthpiece for Jeremiah.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one who's sort of was really sort of spouting out about all these prophecies and various other things. So I did like the fact that, you know, he got that the nub of that axe just rammed down his throat. Like, I thought that was a very cool symbolic thing.
Yep.
The other woman, Lucy, survives. She doesn't get killed at all. He doesn't kill her, I think.
Yeah.
So for me,
I wonder if that means there's going to be another one.
Well, you never know. Like, she could be the new Jeremiah. I don't know.
Interesting. Interesting. I now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, holy shit. Yeah, why? But,
I don't know, because, like, at that point, I was sort of thinking, well, maybe, you know, maybe he doesn't want to kill the women. Lucy, this character, she definitely seems someone who is very controlled. It maybe isn't always 100% clear that she is there through her own choice, at least in the first instance. You know, obviously we go through that whole sort of scene where he makes her sort of pull the gun to her own head and pull the trigger, but there's no bullet and things like that. So she's obviously under some sort of, I don't want to say spell, but you sort of get what I'm trying to go for. Maybe there was an aspect of that, I think, attached to it as well. But we'll come back to it quickly before we move on. The fucking chainsaw scene. How fucking cool is this scene?
Oh my God. I loved it so much. I really did. I loved it. I don't really have a lot of words for it.
It's just fucking really awesome.
It was.
If you're a horror movie fan, blood, guts, and gore and a big chainsaw fight, like, what more could you fucking ask for?
Yeah.
Awesome. So I think that's pretty much it for all the kills in the movie. Just a couple of little things before we sort of move on. There's a lot of color in this movie. Yeah. You know, they use lighting a lot. There's a lot of reds and greens. Do you think that added anything? Like, how did that make you sort of feel about this? Because obviously we're speaking about this being a psychedelic movie. They use a lot of, you know, visual effects with sort of screen blur and, you know, slow-mo and that sort of deep voice you get when you slow something down and all that. So how did you feel about all that?
So this was my first experience with, like, a psychedelic horror movie. This actually led me to watch Colors Out of Space afterwards. Because I was like, ooh, he's in another one. but I thought that the use of color, like, honestly, was beautiful. I got my psychology degree, and there is a lot of information on how color affects you psychologically. And I think that they really played with that. And just like in Halloween, you know, our favorite movie, you know, the use of that blue light. Yeah. I mean, it created such an emotion. So I think, obviously, I don't think that that much lighting or that many colors was like needed, but yeah. It definitely like, it made you, it's like the use of the red when he was like laughing, you know, it was like the red portrayed like his anger, you know, and then the blues, it was almost like, gosh, what am I trying to think of? Like in a way, a silent film, you know, can use black and white to like make you use your imagination to kind of create the colors. I feel like they did that, but with the use of colors, you had to use your imagination a little bit differently. I liked it. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
I think for me, right, sometimes when I sit and think about this, and I, like, when I was sort of putting together my notes and that, I looked at certain aspects of this movie and I thought, you know what, I think they overdid it about certain things, you know, with the sort of whole bombardment of music and with some of the effects. But I think the risk is when you've got a psychedelic horror, if you underplay it, it's just not going to work. So I think you're better to go too far than to maybe not go far enough. So even though, like, one of my complaints about this movie that sometimes I felt like, you know, these effects or the slow-mo and things like that just went on a little bit too long, had it gone the other way, I think it would have been significantly worse. So I think it's like, it's really interesting how you're obviously talking about the various different types of colors, because one thing that I picked up on, and this is sort of relating back to Nightmare on Elm Street, is the sort of use of reds and greens, because obviously Freddy Krueger's jumper is a red and green jumper, and they're put together because those two colors together are psychologically
the most contrasting colors.
They're psychologically upsetting for viewers to watch. So I sort of picked up on that specifically, and you're absolutely right, you know, the use of reds is there to portray anger and all those various other things, and some of the other colors as well. So I did think that that was pretty interesting as well, and really clever. So whilst, you know, like I say, at times I think it maybe just went a little bit too far. I think that's maybe more an issue for me as a personal issue. As a sign that, you know, psychedelic horror maybe isn't my favorite sort of genre of horror. But I can appreciate that had they gone the other way, it would have been significantly worse.
Yeah. I mean, that's us, though. That's the horror fam. Like, obviously, we have our favorite horror movies for specific reasons, but we definitely don't hate other horror movies. You know, it's not like we hated this movie. You know, it was just like, we wish we could change some things.
Yeah, and it's
know.
All about breaking things down and being able to appreciate why people did it. You know, not everything's going to work for everyone. No. You know, there are some movies out there that are just absolutely universally beloved that I'm actually like, eh. And, you know, there's some movies that I absolutely think is amazing that other people are, you know, like, eh. And that's horror, you know, and that's why we love a lot of community. And so just about respecting everyone else's opinions.
Exactly.
And the whole point of this is to break things down and be like, actually, you know what, this was done really well. Exactly. Unless you were listening to one of our previous episodes where we talked about Troll 2, but that's a completely different story. Okay, is there anything else then about this movie that you want to talk about? We've talked about, you know, the acting, the characters, the special effects, some of the key scenes. We've talked about, you know, the music. We've talked about the sort of symbolism that's used in this movie, the plot. Is there anything else that you want to cover?
Is there really anything else? No, I mean, honestly, if you are going to watch this movie, fucking buckle up, friends, because it's a trip. I mean, you get your own acid trip just by watching this movie.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out how to say that, but
don't be on any sort of hallucinogenic drugs when you're going to watch this movie. We should put out a PSA. Yeah. Don't be on hallucinogenic drugs anyway. But
don't do drugs. But
please don't watch this movie, because it will send you into a giant spiral.
Holy shit. Yeah. No, this movie was fantastic. Like I said, just buckle up, you know, and prepare for like the array of emotions that you're going to feel, because it definitely evokes a lot of different emotions. And just I don't know. My favorite scene, just like you, I agree, is that bathroom scene. Yeah. It's like literally all I can think about.
Yeah. I think it would be really easy to say, oh, you know what, the chainsaw scene is my favorite scene. But I think if you look at that scene and how powerful it actually is, for me, it sort of seals the show. There was something else that I wanted to say there, but I've just completely gone right out of my head. Oh, there it is. So, like, yeah, sort of to bring it back, you know, about how different people like different things, just before we move on. The first time I watched this, I came out of it being like, I'm not sure if I liked this. You know, I wasn't sure. Like, I didn't, I didn't really know half the fucking shit that I'd seen. Like, I was still in that sort of state of what the fuck. But I think when you actually break this movie down and you look at its individual parts, all of the individual parts of this movie are really strong.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good thing. Before we get into the trivia, I put out on the social medias and I asked for some of you, the listeners, some of your thoughts. So I just want to read some of those out. The guys at the Sorry You're In My Seat podcast, they said it's an enchantment fantasy, heavy metal horror. It's the nuts.
I like that.
I think that's pretty well.
I like that heavy metal horror.
The F and Nerds podcast, they love this movie. It's the equivalent of a heavy metal album come to life. I think we're going to see a bit of a recurring theme here. Andy J on Twitter says, this is a piece of art that's more than a movie, but a gorgeous blend of moving pictures and music. I think that's...
I just got the chills.
That's like, such a good description of this movie for me. And finally, Liam at the Movies on Twitter says, it's truly as if someone took all 80s metal records and fantasy paperbacks and tossed it into a satanic blender that had tons of LSD in it.
Holy shit. Hey, friends that said those things, yes. Literally, yes. I got the chills. That's such a beautiful way, a work of art with all of the colors, heavy metal, just insanity. I loved it. Yeah.
I think absolutely. I might ask a couple of them to start writing for us.
For real. Hello.
Awesome. Right. Let's move on. Let's talk about some trivia.
Movie trivia.
There's actually not a huge ton of it out there. Like, when I was doing a bit of research, I kind of struggled a little bit to find trivia. We'll start off with the financials, as always. Budgeted at $6 million. This movie bombed at the box office and made 1.5 back. It made a quarter of its budget.
Yeah. And I wonder if they saw Nicolas Cage in a horror movie and they were like, what the fuck?
I think that possibly would have something to do with it, because he did have a sort of... not black mark against him, but there was almost a bit of a stink around him, you know.
He couldn't
sort of wash that off, and I think he's starting to do that now. But there was sort of just, you know, oh, it's Nicolas Cage sort of thing. And like I say, I love Nicolas Cage, so it's that didn't bother me. It's funny that you mentioned Elijah Wood earlier, because Cage was actually originally approached by the director of this movie to play the role of Jeremiah. But Cage didn't want that role. He wanted the role of Red, and they couldn't come to an agreement. And so, like, they went their separate ways. And it was a year later that their mutual friend, Elijah Wood, got them back talking again. And they finally came to the agreement that Nicolas Cage could play Red.
Fuck yeah.
So go, Elijah Wood.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you for that.
1 hour and 15 minutes in this movie until the title card appears. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nicolas Cage had a screaming coach for this movie.
Really?
So he had someone who was specifically there to coach him for his screaming.
Well, he did a fucking good job. That's my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And finally, I briefly mentioned the tiger earlier. I believe the tiger was called Lizzie, I think.
Okay,
Lizzie was originally going to be a lizard.
Oh.
And then one day Richard Brake showed up on set and the director went, oh, by the way, Lizzie's a tiger now.
Oh my god, I wonder if he shit his pants.
I would.
I would have.
And that's it. That's all I got for the trivia. A little bit of research, but there's actually not a lot about a lot of, or at least not a lot of interesting trivia.
There's a couple,
less interesting sections. But that's it. So we'll move on again quickly and we'll get into our final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
As always, we will start off with the critics. Now, since you've been on, we've started doing this little game with the ratings where we get our guests to guess the Rotten Tomatoes scores. So
okay.
I'm gonna have you do that for us here. So IMDb, they scored this movie a 6.5 out of 10. Metacritic scored it 81 out of 100. What do you think the Rotten Tomatoes critics scored this movie?
Don't they? They're such assholes to, like, everybody.
Yeah, they are.
I'm like, how do they score these things?
It's a percentages.
Okay, so, like...
0 to 100.
Okay. Oh, gosh. I'm so scared that they, like, totally, like, shit on this movie. I'm going to say that they probably gave it a 70%-ish.
Okay. I mean, 70% is generally considered a pretty decent score. So,
okay.
That's okay. The Rotten Tomatoes critics actually scored this movie at 91%, which...
What?
Yeah, it's super, super high. And if I've just got sort of the list of ratings for all of the other movies we've done, and it's up there. There's only about 5 or 6 movies that we've covered on the show that have been rated higher. So that's super high. So with that in mind, what do you think the Rotten Tomatoes audience scored the movie?
Oh man.
Sorry to put you on the spot. I should have maybe warned you about this.
No. This is fine. This is great. So 91% is what like the critics did. So audience, probably 60%, probably. They probably hated this movie.
You're not far off. They scored it at 66%.
Oh my god.
Which is still considered a positive score, but obviously it's significantly lower than the critics, which is something that I found quite interesting. In general, the critics are always significantly harsher on horror movies.
Yeah.
But I think because this one is so psychedelic and for a lot of people this will be considered sort of artsy.
Yeah.
And I think for, you know, maybe, I don't mean this to sound derogative to horror fans, but maybe for some of the lower brow horror fans, so for people who really just want, you know, a good old-fashioned slasher fight sort of scenes, you're not going to get that here. And I think that might have turned a few people off as well. So 66%.
No, I mean, gore galore.
It's there.
Yeah.
The overall critics' consensus was that Mandy's gonzo violence is fueled by a gripping performance by Nicolas Cage and anchored with palpable emotion conveyed between his volcanic outbursts. The people really got poetic on describing this movie. I love it.
Yeah, me too. Okay. I really do.
So, Ashlina, out of 10, what would you rate Mandy?
Out of 10?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I'm trying to think what I gave Yummy. I'd probably do like a 6.5. 6.5 out of 10. I really liked it, but obviously, you know, kind of breaking it down the way that we've done, you know, there were some parts that I didn't necessarily enjoy. God, man, I don't know.
This is the problem with this movie is... Like I was saying,
because I liked it.
Yeah, it's tough because, like I said earlier, when you actually break it down, the majority of the parts of this movie are great. You know, the acting's strong, the emotion that you feel is strong, and some of the, you know, the kill scenes are great, and the gore is great, and things like that.
Yes.
But there are things in there that I wouldn't say, I'm not going to say wrong, but you know, just that.
Didn't hit for me.
They don't hit, and there are if you watch this once, you're gonna be left with that just sort of, I don't fucking know what I've just watched. So it's actually a really difficult one to rate.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and like just like Yummy, you know, like when we did this together, it's almost like how bad do the parts that didn't need to be there? How bad does it knock it down? And that's what I'm trying to think of. You know, like. The parts that I didn't like, how bad would it knock it down for me? I would even give it like a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Because I really did like it. It was beautiful. It really was. I I enjoyed it. Yeah. I recommended it to my community. So therefore, that definitely means that I enjoyed it. So
I think a 7 out of 10 is pretty fair. And yeah. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 as well. Because I think, like I say, when I broke it down, the majority of it is good. So I feel like giving it, you know, like a middle of the road type score, like a 5 or something, would be harsh, because there is a lot of good things about this movie, but there are things that, not necessarily that I wish was better, just that left me sort of wondering about what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
Anyways, so out of 10 and given our scores and the critic scores combined, that gives Mandy an average rating of 7.5 out of 10. Mm. It puts it in 26th place of movies that have been covered on the show. This was the 69th movie. So it's in, like, well in the sort of top half. It's like at the bottom of the top half-ish. And I think that's probably where I would place it. And it has the same score as... confused by my own spreadsheet there. The same score as Drag Me to Hell and Scream.
Really? God, I love Scream so much.
Scream got like really weird scores, actually. Like Metacritic scored this 81. Metacritic only scored Scream a 65. It was one of those rare occasions where both the Rotten Tomatoes audience and critics gave the exact same
score. Ghostface was not who we were all expecting, but you cannot deny that Wes Craven, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. did a fantastic job of creating this new niche in horror with Scream. And that's why I love it. And then I just love Billy. Oh my God. That was my first, like, one of my first horror crushes ever. I don't know. I love Scream so much.
I've been pretty vocal, specifically more about the sequels rather than the first one, about how I feel about Scream and that I'm not that big a fan of them. I'm still a big fan of the original, and you're absolutely right. You know, Wes Craven did create this whole sort of niche of horror. He absolutely created a new horror icon and things like that as well. So, you know, the props have to go to that movie.
Yeah, freaking props to him.
Anyways, that's it. That's all we have got time for this week's episode. It just flies by, doesn't it?
I know.
Ashleena, thank you so much for joining me again. I was so happy to have you back. Hopefully we can get you back again in the new year, and we can either talk about Summer of 84 or Host. We can just do both. It's fine.
I'll be back. Don't even worry about it. I will definitely be back.
Awesome. Don't fret. Before we go, do you want to remind the listeners where they can find all of the amazing things that you do?
Yeah, of course. Again, my name is Ashleena. You can find me on twitch.tv. /Ashleena, and that's 2 A's at the end. I'll spell it real quick: Ashlinaa. I do a variety of things on my channel. I cook, I bake, I do makeup, I play horror games, I play regular games. Like right now, I'm playing 7 Days to Die, which is a zombie survival game. And then I have an Etsy shop where I sell spooky goodies. Right now, I do not have an update date. Available off the top of my head, but I'm hoping to get some goodies out by the end of November so that people can get stuff for like Christmas and stuff. And then I model as well. I like to kind of keep my plate decently full because I'm a workaholic, I guess. But yeah, for the most part, that's me in a nutshell. I love horror movies. I love talking horror. I'm a slasher fan. So that's me in a nutshell. Awesome. Halloween all year.
Yes, Halloween all year. Halloween is a lifestyle, not just a holiday.
Absolutely.
If you want to go check out any of those links to any of Ashleena's sites, then they will be in the description for this episode as well. Or you can contact myself on Twitter, or I'm sure Ashleena will be happy for you to contact her as well. Especially if you know you're going to buy some shit off her. I'll be front of that queue because I'm looking for a few little goodies now for Christmas. I've actually finished the majority of my Christmas shopping.
Are you psycho?
I never even start my Christmas shopping before December, and this episode's coming out on the 10th of December, but we're recording it on the 9th of November. So for me to be almost finished my Christmas shopping is just fucking insane. Like I'm disgusted in myself. But I've a few things to get, so I'll definitely be checking out your Etsy store. So,
oh yeah, I'll let you know.
Awesome.
I'll let you know.
But yeah, that's it. Thank you once again to Ashleena for joining us. Up next on the show, Rebecca from the Thrice Cursed, a true crime podcast. She is returning to the show, and we're going to be talking about The Babysitter, Killer Queen. I've still not seen it. I know there was a huge amount of buzz about it when it first came out. So I'm really looking forward to getting that watched and discussing that. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter at Screams Behind, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube is at Behind the Screams Podcast. Thank you to Graham, Nico, Lorna Pearl, Jade, the Girl That's Scary podcast, the TGIF podcast, and Galileo Jones for being our amazing Patreon subscribers. Thank you, thank you. Patreon.com/behindthescreams. You can sign up from as little as £1 a month. And I think that's all I've got to plug. Stay tuned for more announcements. Our award show is coming on New Year's Eve. What better way to finish the year with our award show? And also stay tuned for some of the amazing changes that are coming to the show after the new year as well. But that's it. I'm going to stop rambling on now because I have a habit of doing this at the end of episodes. But yes, thank you once again to Ashleena for joining us. Thank you to you guys at home for downloading and listening to this episode. And we hope you will join us next time on Behind the Screams.